And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. It's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday. I've asked Brian to join me today. Now, you've not heard Brian's voice before, but I'm here to tell you, Brian is a qualified member of Lifestyles Unlimited. He has been doing the things that Lifestyles Unlimited members are supposed to do, and he is working towards retirement. Now, he's not achieved retirement yet. He's still got a few things he's got to work out. But I will tell you, as I'm reviewing his bio, things are a lot better today than they used to be. And I know this for a fact, just by reading Brian's bio. So what am I getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. Let me just quote what Brian wrote to me. And I think it's gonna resonate with many of you in the audience. He said, "I was trying to learn stocks, and the Del Wamsley Radio Show was the program on the radio after the stock radio show that I listened to. So what did Brian do? He started listening to Del Wamsley, the founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited. And I think Del made an impression, because what Brian did was he went out and he bought two rentals in late 2017, and he put 20% down on each. And then he had an epiphany. He realized he was doing it all wrong. Now imagine yourself in his shoes. Imagine yourself at a point where you have finally figured out the asset class that's going to help you achieve retirement. You finally stumbled across it. You finally have stopped looking at stocks and you're looking at real estate, and you decide to pull the trigger and you buy not one, but two properties, and you put 20% down on each property. And I'm guessing he didn't capture any equity, but he bought those properties. And then he realized he was doing it all wrong. So let me stop right there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Brian onto the show, because we got to find out what was going on. Because many of you have the mindset that he had when he made those purchases. And then his mindset changed. It transitioned. We got to find out why. So let's do this. Let's bring Brian onto the show. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So did I get the backstory correct, or am I way off base?
You got it right, and I really haven't listened to stock radio since.
Awesome, awesome. So what happened? I mean, how did you wind up buying not one, but two assets for 20% down, and then have the epiphany that you were doing it all wrong? Spill the beans, man.
So just listening to Dell, he basically tells you exactly what it is. Eventually I ended up taking the one day, I forget what it's called, the free workshop?
Day.
The free workshop, and realized, man, there is more to it. I thought hard money was just them giving you a big lump of money and you just go out and pay them back a really expensive loan whenever. I didn't realize there's a process and a system to it. And during the 2 day, I kind of learned all that.
So was I correct when I assumed that you didn't capture any equity when you bought those assets for 20% down?
Not during the purchase, but I made a lot after the process since. So just the time allowed me to make the money on it. It wasn't on the purchase.
Oh, okay. So you got the natural appreciation, but you weren't able to like double or triple your money going into the purchase because you didn't understand the methodology of how we buy properties at that point. Is that fair?
Correct. Yeah.
So what's different between what you did and what you do now, besides the hard money?
What's different as far as
acquiring the properties? I mean, what do you look for when you're buying assets now as opposed to when you bought them for 20% down?
Now I'm looking for the fixer-uppers. I'm looking to really buy something that doesn't look so great and just put some work into it, not myself, but hiring people to put work into it, make it worth a lot more. And then now I've been refinancing them and taking the equity out of them.
So is that how you capture the equity, by finding fixer-uppers and then improving them? So that's the secret sauce right there, huh?
Yeah, it's been working well.
So how much equity are you capturing in the deals that you're buying? And I'm just looking for like a blanket number. Are you like doubling your equity participation? Are you tripling your money, quadrupling? What kind of return are you getting? for the money you're actually putting into the deal?
Usually just doubling. I guess I'm saying just doubling, but usually just base hits, doubling the money. If I put $25,000 down, I'll usually get about another $25,000 to $30,000 in equity.
And what does that do for your financial situation?
Hopefully it's making my net worth grow.
I'm thinking it is, because it sounds like if you can capture an additional $25,000 to $30,000 of equity over and above the $25,000 you're putting into the deal, you've got like $50,000 to $55,000 of equity essentially when you put a renter in that property. I mean, that's got to make you feel pretty good.
It definitely does.
So buying the properties the way you buy them now makes a lot more sense than the way you did it originally, correct?
Yes.
Would you ever go back to the old methodology?
No, not really, but I am starting to hit a point where I'm buying nicer properties than I used to, because when I first got started, I was buying some real rough ones, because that's about all the money I had.
Oh, okay. So your buying criteria is modified a little bit over time. You're selecting different assets. What are you looking for in these newer assets?
Usually better areas, and I'm willing to spend a little bit more up front to get a little bit nicer of a place, so I don't have so much work to do.
So as part of that new methodology of buying properties, how long does it take you to not only acquire the asset, but to get it ready for somebody to rent?
Usually it was about 3 weeks to a month, depending on the size. But the ones I usually do, usually about a month, worst case, maybe 5 weeks.
Okay. And how bad a condition are these things in? I mean, what type of things are you addressing in these properties?
The first few have been really rough. One of them, the first one I bought in San Antonio, you didn't even have to ring the doorbell. You can put your finger right through and kind of wave your hand in and get somebody's attention on the inside because the dogs have scratched it so bad. So and then replacing a roof here and there, some of the properties I've done roofs on, some foundation work. So they've been pretty rough condition.
Now, you mentioned to me in the last segment, you've modified your buying criteria. You're looking for stuff that's not necessarily as rough. So in the newer assets that you're buying, are you doing as extensive of a renovation, or is that something that you don't have to do because you've changed the asset that you're selecting?
No, I don't have to do as much. Usually I'm just doing like paint and flooring, stuff like that.
And what are these newer assets? Well, I'm using the term newer. I don't know how new they are. But the assets that you're buying right now, what is your cash out of pocket contribution that you're making in these newer assets?
I think the last one was somewhere around $35,000.
Okay. So you transitioned from about $25,000 per door to $35,000 per door for the investment cost. How did that impact you?
Not much, because the cash flow is starting to come in a little bit better now.
Oh, really? So there's a correlation between the cash flow and actually maybe spending a little more money on the asset?
Yeah, well, with the quantity of them, too. Now that I'm acquiring more and more, it seems like I can come up with money faster so I can afford a little bit better properties.
So how many assets do you have just on the single family side, not including what you're living in? How many assets do you have for single family?
So I have 10 rentals.
10? Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't just start out with 10, did you?
No, I started out with my primary, and then I bought those two 20% down, and it started happening quick.
Okay. So if I were to do just a general blanket analysis, I would estimate that you've probably spent about $300,000 buying those 10 single family assets. Am I close?
That sounds about right.
Okay. And what kind of collective cash flow are you getting? I mean, do you even know that number? I mean, because we are talking about 10 different properties, and they all, I'm sure, cash flow a little bit differently. Do you know how much cash flow you're bringing in monthly across all 10 of those?
Including the multifamily, I think it's somewhere around $4,000 to $5,000.
So I'm going to say like 4,500. I'm going to multiply that by 12. And then I'm going to divide that by 300,000. Now, the reason I'm doing that is not for your benefit, Brian. It's for the audience's benefit. And what it indicates is you're getting an 18% cash on cash on your money. How does that make you feel?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Yeah, because where else could you invest your money and get an 18% return just on the cash flow, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any money in savings accounts?
I do, just because I worry about stuff. So I want to make sure that I have enough insurance money.
Plus, that's where your capital is sitting that's ready to buy the next asset, correct?
Yes, correct.
What kind of interest rate are you getting in that savings account?
I don't even know. Nothing, hardly anything.
Nothing. Okay. So, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that an 18% return on investment by buying the real estate is far more superior than whatever it is you're getting in that savings account. It sounds like you could like maybe getting 1, possibly 2%. It's so minimal that it doesn't even make your radar, correct?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Now, you made a decision to buy multifamily assets, didn't you?
Yeah, that was kind of the whole reason of joining Lifestyles at first, is I wanted to do it easier. And my plan was to not do houses, but once you get into one deal and kind of blow all your money, it goes back down to smaller amounts.
Okay. So how many multifamily deals are you in?
I currently have, it's 7 apartment complexes, but there's a couple of them are multi-apartment deals, but seven apartment complexes.
7 apartment complexes in addition to 10 single family assets.
Correct, yeah.
What did you start with before you got on this epiphany of real estate was the path you were going to follow? How many assets did you have?
Just my primary house.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, so from the time you became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, you've expanded your portfolio to include 10 single family properties, 7 multifamily apartment communities, and I'm guessing you're not done. I'm thinking you're getting ready to buy something else, aren't you?
I probably in the next few weeks.
What are you looking at? What's on your radar right now?
I'm with a lead right now in 2 deals, and he's got a 3rd one coming up, and I like it.
So you've got a relationship with a guy that's done well for you so far?
Yep. Yeah.
And he's giving you the opportunity to participate in a 3rd deal?
Yeah, he is.
I think that's amazing. Don't you?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. The first two aren't too old, and they're already starting to cash flow.
So what are those other deals doing for you? I mean, they're cash flowing, but are they providing you equity participation too? Are you making money on the fact that the lead investor is improving the property and repositioning that property in the marketplace so that it will trade at a higher value?
Yeah, he is.
How does that make you feel? I mean, now let's be real about this, because we've already determined that we haven't retired you yet. You're still working. I think we made that point earlier in the show. And if we didn't, I'm making that point right now. But the other thing that I want to point out to the audience, Brian, is that you've been a busy guy. You've got 17 different assets in your portfolio. Sounds like you're working on asset number 18. What is the number that it's going to take for you to actually step away from your job? Is it going to be 20 assets? Is it going to be 25 assets? Do you even know the number?
I did for a while, but now it's more of just a time thing. I'm just going to keep doing it and growing. There was a number to replace my income, but right now everything's going so smooth, I'll just kind of keep going for now.
Okay, so what do you mean everything's going so smooth? You talking about the job? You talking about the investments?
Yeah.
You talking about both?
No, I enjoy my job, so it's still keeping me going, but I do want to just keep doubling my net worth and working towards another double, I guess.
Oh, wait a minute. You said another double. So you've already doubled your net worth once in this process?
Yeah. So I'm working on my second or my 3rd? Yeah, I've already doubled it. I want to say about 2 years into joining Lifestyles.
That's an impressive result. I'll tell you what, Brian, we're going to break. When we come back from break, we're going to dig into this stuff. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. I'm joined by Brian. Together, we're working on your financial freedom. And I know many of you don't believe that Brian and I are actually focused on your needs, but we really are. And here's how we address your needs. We share information with you that you can use. As a matter of fact, Brian, there's a gentleman who's a fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member that I've been corresponding with, and he's kind of cut from the same cloth you are. Now he's got a slightly different scenario with regards to the job and where he's at in that trajectory, but he, like you, bought some real estate before becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. And what he's finding is that he didn't operate those properties the way he was taught to do it as a Lifestyles Unlimited member. So he's been corresponding with me and just saying, what should I do with the properties? And I'm not mentoring the guy, but I'm just being a fellow member listening to him and helping him understand what he has available to him. So now that I've told you all that information, what would you say to a fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member who has bought some real estate and hasn't gotten the best results out of it, but who has joined Lifestyles Unlimited and hasn't done anything yet? What advice would you give somebody like that?
Just get started. You're saying, what would I tell the new person that has just gotten started?
Yeah, so this guy has been a member for a little while. He hasn't done anything yet, unlike you. He hasn't bought his first property as a Lifestyles Unlimited member, but he owns several assets that he bought before Lifestyles Unlimited. So like you and I are aware, we probably did it wrong. He kind of did it wrong. And that's kind of what I'm helping him understand, is that he did it a little bit wrong, but he can still recover from it. So it kind of looks like, now let me just give you an idea. One of the properties that he has, he's got a ton of equity in it. So when I looked at his return on equity, it was terrible. I mean, he's like less than 1%. So, you know, the first thing Del Walmsley would tell him to do is sell that thing, make it go away. And what I assessed is that if he sold that property and harvested all of that equity, I think he could buy potentially 6, maybe 7 single family properties the way you're doing it right now. So what advice would you have for somebody like that that's in that situation?
Well, like I was told, real estate's really forgiving. And even if you buy it wrong, you can manage to make something out of it. Yeah. So I did a 1031 on one of my properties that I first bought before Lifestyles, and ended up buying 3 properties in San Antonio. And I moved my cash flow from only about $100 on the house that I bought basically wrong, and it turned it into about $1,200 a month cash flow.
So you said a 1031 exchange. What exactly is that?
Basically, you could probably explain it better than I could. But basically, it's an exchange, a tax-free exchange that that allowed me to defer the taxes and be able to use all of my proceeds towards the new properties.
So how much were you dealing with in proceeds? What were you trying to move across?
It was a little over $100,000.
And had you not done the 1031 exchange, do you recall what your tax liability might have been against that $100,000?
I don't know.
Well, I'll just give you an idea. It can be very big. And the reason I know that is because I did the exact same thing you did, except I did it with 3 properties. And I had owned those properties for a long time. And, you know, when you start looking at the amount of depreciation you take, and you start looking at depreciation recapture, and you start looking at the fact the properties did go up in value and the capital gains tax, I was going to pay upwards of 70% of my proceeds had I not done the 1031 exchange. It scared the bejesus out of me. It really did. And I did like you did. I transitioned from those properties. They were in Kansas, and I transitioned into properties into the San Antonio market. Now, the reason I chose the San Antonio market was because at that time, we were entering into a seller's market, and I wanted to take advantage of that seller's market. Now, what was the reason you chose the San Antonio market?
To be honest, I was getting a lot of blasts from Lifestyles. I had just bought a passive deal and didn't really have any of that much money to put into another passive deal. So I had about 25 sitting around, and I was looking into houses, ended up buying one house in San Antonio, which then stuck me in that area. I wanted to stay in that area. But just getting the property blasts from the Lifestyles Realty, I was just using that to find them easier.
Okay, so you were using the information that's provided to us as members to assess where the deals were. I mean, that's kind of how I use it. Is that how you use it?
Yep.
Okay. And how's that working out for you?
It did well. I was able to find those 3 properties pretty easy. Going 3 properties on a 1031 is a lot of work.
Yes.
I was talking to mentor Joe Flores, and he told me to buy one fixer-upper and then buy one cash and then sit on it for, I think it was 6 months or a year, and then do a refi on it to pull it all back out. The problem was I didn't use all the money because I did have quite a bit of money to put in. And so I ended up having to buy a third.
So you just had to buy a third house.
Yeah.
did you go home like hanging your head and tell your wife, oh, honey, I had to buy three houses today. I feel so ashamed. I mean, was that how it played out?
No, but it was a very stressful time.
It was okay. It was stressful.
Because they were all fixer-uppers.
Okay. All right. So, but did you have a plan for each of those properties?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you had three properties going through rehab at the same time. Is that true, or did you stagger them?
No, it was all at the same time.
Did you use one contractor, or did you have multiple contractors?
I only used one because I had used them previously on all my other projects, and I knew I could trust them. So it did. One of them did slow down a little, so the third one I bought did take a little while, and it was basically sitting vacant for a couple weeks.
Okay, but it wasn't such a long period of time that it caused you a financial problem with that asset.
No.
Okay. So do you still own those three assets?
I do, yeah.
And what have those assets done over time? I mean, just give me an idea of what you paid for them and what you think they might be worth today.
They've been cash flowing the whole time, pretty much about, on average, about $400 a piece. And yeah, the equities, I don't know what the equity is. I haven't really gone back to look at a refi because I'm just kind of playing with a cash flow game for right now. They definitely made some equity after the purchase. I just haven't looked into what they are now.
So, Brian, I've got to ask a question about your single family properties. You've got 10 of them, correct?
Yeah.
Are they all in San Antonio?
No. So seven are in San Antonio. We have two in Michigan and one in Idaho.
Wow. How did you wind up with two in Michigan and one in Idaho after buying a bunch in San Antonio?
So my grandparents lived in Idaho. That's kind of where I started. And I actually, this last one, I inherited part of it. So part of my inheritance was partial amount of the house, and then I bought the rest of it. And then Michigan, we always go out to Michigan every year to my wife's family's from there, and we go out to Lake House out there every year. And I figured, well, maybe I can write off part of the trip and do a little work while I'm there, too.
And did you?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all legal, right?
Yeah.
It's all written into the tax code. Everything you just said is permissible. As long as you're going to a location to conduct business, you can effectively write off the expenses associated with that trip. And that's what you did, right?
Yeah, and actually, each time I go, I keep looking at more houses. And this year, when we go over the 4th of July, I think I might look at getting another.
So are you finding that the Lifestyles Unlimited model is working well in Michigan?
It is, yeah.
What part of Michigan are you investing in?
So Lansing, which is the capital, and it's right next to East Lansing, which is where Michigan State University is. But I like to stay on the Lansing side. It's a little cheaper.
And what are the assets like there? Are they comparable to what you find in San Antonio, or is it like a completely different type of housing stock?
No, it's pretty different. There, I actually like getting a 2-1 with a basement, and sometimes with a garage, sometimes without. But the 2-1s seem to cash flow really well.
Why do you think the 2-1s are cash flowing better than, say, a 3-2?
Well, I think the cost is down, but the rents are still fairly high. So, yeah, it's just my what I like.
What kind of residents rent a 2-bedroom, 1-bath?
Usually older couples. Usually not many with kids, but there's a lot of older couples.
So what I heard was people with stable income like to rent from me.
Yeah.
And you're finding that to be pretty true.
Yep.
So where are you buying your next house? I mean, we already established that your next deal is going to be in multifamily. But if you decide to buy a house afterwards, where are you going to buy? Are you going to be in San Antonio, or are you going to be up there in Lansing?
Probably Lansing, just because we're heading out there in a couple months to take a quick trip, and I'm sure I'll be looking around. And the prices are a lot cheaper, too.
Now, do you find yourself looking at real estate in Lansing, even though you live on the West Coast?
Yeah, I look everywhere.
And is that a burden, or is that a passion?
No, definitely not a burden.
So you like looking at real estate?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
It is. Every time I try to talk to the wife about it, she doesn't, not to say doesn't like hearing about it, but she's constantly looking for another topic to talk about. But I really like talking about real estate.
Oh, you and I are married to the same woman. They're like, you do that real estate, you bring the money, everything's good, but when it comes to talking about real estate, I'm out. Is that how it goes in your household?
Yeah, she supports me and what I want to do, but she's just not interested in hearing about it unless it's just about the money coming into the bank.
Yeah, okay. We got to get our wives connected because yeah, they're speaking the same language. But that's okay, isn't it?
No problem. She supports me and helps me and is always there for me and has my back. So.
And you're madly in love with her, so I mean, you got that too, right?
Yep, definitely.
All right, let me switch gears on you because I've been dying to ask you about what I think is a problem that you have. And can I ask you about a potential problem that you have in front of millions of people?
Sure.
What is this problem you have with going to the Caribbean? Tell me what's going on there.
You know, we went a long time ago, just us two, and then the kids started liking it. So we try to make it out there maybe at least every couple of years, sometimes Florida Keys. My son actually moved or is going to school in Miami, so it's allowing us to kind of head down there a little more. But it's one of our passions is kind of going down there to the islands.
So with all this real estate investing, are you finding that the extra income that comes from that is helping to pay for these types of excursions?
Yeah, definitely.
How often do you plan to get to the Caribbean this year?
We're trying to make it out there at least once this year. We didn't go last year, so we're kind of ready for it.
And do you go other places too, or just the Caribbean?
We haven't been. We usually just go to the Caribbean.
See, that's your problem. The world is a big place. There are some other really cool places that you can go to that aren't the Caribbean.
Yeah, we've been talking about even going over to Europe and stuff, and every time we talk about it, we end up back in the Caribbean.
but there's really no problem there because at the end of the day, you're doing what you enjoy doing. If you like going to the Caribbean, there's no problem with that. The fact that you're able to pick up the family and go there, I think is amazing. And where do you get all the money to do all of this traveling?
The real estate definitely helps with it.
And if you didn't have the real estate, would you be doing this traveling?
Probably. I think we'd probably just do it a little, not as much.
Not as much and maybe a little bit more on the cheap?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I'm guessing there's a difference in your finances in your household now versus, say, way back before you became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Am I onto something?
Yeah, we definitely worry less about money.
Because the real estate is really in the process of replacing your income, although you pointed out earlier in the show, it hasn't completely replaced your income yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But you like doing what you're doing, too.
I do enjoy it still, yeah.
And you know what, Brian? There's nothing wrong with you enjoying the work that you do, because if you really sat down and you really did the NUG work and figured out if you were real estate retired, how close? I mean, let's just do it on the air right now. How close do you think you are to being real estate retired, based off of all the income that comes in from the real estate compared to the income that comes in from the job? What percentage do you think you've replaced? Is it 30%, 40%, a bigger number?
Probably about 30%. I always tell the kids if we decided to move out of California, I think we could probably retire tomorrow. But yeah, living here just cost a lot.
Ah, would you move out of California to retire yourself?
We're talking about it. We're just trying to figure out where else we'd want to be.
Well, I'll tell you, my family is in the middle of that discussion, too. We're living in Texas. We love it out here in Texas. We're actually refugees from the state of California, and we're looking to potentially move to another part of the country. And what we're doing is we're kind of following the real estate. We're figuring out where we want to invest in real estate, and then we will move to wherever that is and live concurrent with the investments that we're going to make. What do you think about that idea?
That sounds interesting. I would just have to tell my wife and she would have to agree with it.
Ah, now since we brought up your wife, is she interested in moving out of California? I mean, or is she somebody that wants to stay there?
No, she's actually from Michigan, so she's ready to go whenever. We're talking about possibly like a Florida, Michigan thing. Just hard to decide. And I've lived in San Jose my entire life, so I don't know anything different.
Wow. So there's a joke in there. I was going to say you must know the way to San Jose, but I'm just going to leave that alone. When it comes to Florida and it comes to Michigan, those are two variable places. Now, we've already established that in Michigan, you're buying real estate, but you're not buying real estate in Florida. If you moved to Florida, do you think you would buy real estate down there?
Yeah, possibly. I've been looking at it for a little while. There's a possibility.
So you've got options.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel knowing that you've got options, that you're not stuck in a dead-end job, that you have transportability? I mean, what you do for a living, you can do that in other parts of the country. So if you choose to keep working, you can choose to keep working. But it sounds like if you left California and you left that higher cost of living, you're effectively real estate retired if you were in Michigan or Florida right about now. Am I close?
Yeah, I'd be pretty close. Of course, I'm always nervous, so I always want to work anyway, just to make sure that there's plenty there. But yeah, I'd be pretty close.
Well, Brian, it's amazing when I discover that my guest is effectively real estate retired. You are effectively real estate retired, and I'm just happy to point it out to you.
Well, thanks.
So we're getting ready to end the show. Is there anything you want to tell the audience that we haven't had a chance to tell them yet?
No, just trust the process. Engage. Trust the process. It really works.
Spoken like a true winner. Hey, if you want to do what Brian's doing, you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Sign up for that free workshop like Brian attended, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.